right at its very inception, and it really just goes on the fact that police officers aren't experts when it comes to dealing with health-related incidents. And I'll give a physical analogy for this, that if I can see if someone has broken a leg and give first aid to them, but I can't set that fracture. That's for the experts to do in a hospital. In the same way, I can identify someone who appears to be suffering from poor mental health and I can make them safe. But again, I'm not an expert in relation to that. But what we find is that due to sort of the 24/7 nature of policing and the ease of access to call us via 999 or 101, that we often become the first point of contact for people in crisis rather than the last resort. So what I thought was there must be another way of actually dealing with this sort of situation and providing support and signposting to people that call the police, because there aren't sort of other services potentially available for them to call. So in December 2015, we started a project which is a first nationally, where we have wellbeing workers from Maidstone and Mid-Kent Mind actually working within our force control room, providing emotional support and guidance to callers we receive that sort of manifest in sort of mental health crisis. Clearly, they've got the time, they've got the training, and they're able to support both the call takers within the control room and also officers in providing an alternative non-law enforcement type way of dealing with people in crisis. The project's been funded by Matthew Scott, our Police and Crime Commissioner, for three more years, and that provides a wellbeing worker from the charity operating out of our control room on Tuesday and Saturday nights from 4 p.m. until midnight at the moment. There is also funding available for wellbeing workers to sort of continue to provide that person's support once that initial call's been sort of finished, as it were, but also to engage people that might call police outside of those hours when they're there, so the wellbeing worker can call them in sort of slower time and give them the same sort of support and advice that they would have done if they'd actually called on the day. So although it's not a 24/7 role that's going on in there, there is the sort of the capability to provide people with support outside of those hours. It's funded for just those two nights a week. As I say, although it started in December 2015, it's still sort of quite early as far as a project goes. Clearly, there's lots of good outcomes that have come from it. There are patrols that have been diverted from actually attending people in crisis as a result. But as it stands at the moment, it's still sort of two nights a week and one day sort of supporting role outside of that. On average, the call takers will take around about four or five calls per shift. And as I've mentioned, they are in there for 8 hours. I mean, some of the calls can be fairly quick, but I mean, some of the calls can sort of last up to an hour and a half. So I don't physically have any statistics of the actual numbers of calls that are coming through, but certainly it is sort of four, five, six calls a shift that they're dealing with. We get people that do call us on a regular basis, and we look to engage with those in slower time. And certainly the third shift that the Mind Wellbeing Worker does for me will also look to tackle those sort of calls, those repeat presenters, and try and understand why they're calling the police, and what they'll do is work with them to try and sort of give them an alternative. But also at the very end of that, they'll provide sort of 24/7 helpline type support and say, well, next time you're in crisis, if you don't need the police, don't call the police, and sort of call us instead, as it were. They'll do what's called a wellness and recovery action plan with the caller, which is what it says. It looks to support them through an action plan, either sort of written or verbal, and we'll try and give the caller sort of coping mechanisms to sort of deal with whatever sort of ill health type issues that they've got. But I mean, the wellbeing workers have always have also made calls to GPs to signpost people that might not be under sort of GP services at the time. They've provided them with mentor support. They can look on the Kent County Council's Live It Well website and find out what support is available specifically in the area that that person is calling from, and through that sort of just give them alternatives, give them support within the community, and I guess reduce their reliance on not just calling the police, but also sort of it might be that they're presenting at A&E, for example, or whatever other sort of set of circumstances there might be, just to try and reduce the demand on police, but also on other services where they might be sort of trying to access services where they might not actually need them. There are people that will phone us and they will state they've got some sort of suicidal ideation. Now, clearly, before the call is passed to the wellbeing worker from Mind, we put it through a almost like a triage, a threat and risk assessment to see, is that call actually suitable to pass to the wellbeing worker, or is the threat to that person or to others around that person so high that we need to send a patrol? So if it's decided that the threat is low enough that we can pass the call directly to the wellbeing worker, then clearly we do that. However, if we need to actually send a patrol, what has also taken place in the past is we've passed a call over to the wellbeing worker whilst the patrol has made their way, and they've been able to de-escalate the person in crisis until patrols have been able to arrive and then take over, so the call can be sort of terminated. So again, there's a whole variety of sort of different calls that can come in that they can deal with. It's really hard to extrapolate or to even to give any statistics around sort of time that's been saved. What I can say is that we know that around about 20% of all calls to Kent Police seem to have an amount of sort of mental ill health attached to them. So there's quite a high demand on officers in the first case for calls of this type. I mean, in Thanet, for example, around about 50% of all calls have some form of mental health in relation to it, and in Medway that's 57%. There is a high demand for support like this, but what I can't say is that because of the Mind wellbeing worker we've reduced calls by X amount. But clearly I do have lots of qualitative type evidence where people have been supported, signposted, and they've contacted police afterwards sort of to thank them for the service and sort of say it's assisted in their recovery. People call the police because we're 24/7, we always answer the phone, and the telephone numbers for us are easier to remember. So as a result, we needed to find a way of dealing with this kind of demand differently, and so the different way that we did this was by looking sort of outside other public sector bodies and looking to see what our charitable partners around the county could actually do to support us in the process. And In doing so, here we are sort of 18 months later, having a well-embedded service within our police control room, supporting members of the public, but also supporting our own staff in being able to deal with things that, again, as I said right at the very start, we're not experts in dealing with. We'll do our best, but we're not an expert.